I could just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And sit down. It's one of those mornings. Right from the very beginning in the first song, I just felt the cool breeze of the Holy Spirit begin to blow through the meeting. It was strong enough for me to look at that door and say, who's opened the door? But the door was closed. And there's that, from that moment on, there was just that gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here for sure this morning, and he wants to work his wonders amongst us. I want to talk about authority and power this morning. Much of some of the songs that we've been singing have simply related to the fact that as believers, we have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, in the nature of Jesus Christ, and in the word of Jesus Christ. That is Jesus's part. He imparts and gives us authority. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to carry that authority wherever we go and wherever we minister and whatever we're doing. It's like this. I'll give this illustration. I don't know if it's true or not. One day there was a policeman and there was a criminal on the loose, and he saw this car driving towards him, and he knew the criminal was inside the car. So the policeman stepped out into the middle of the road. He put his hand up and the car stopped. The only problem was the criminal got out of the car with a gun and shot him dead. The policeman had at that moment the authority, but the criminal had the power because he had the gun in his hand. We carry both the authority of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit as believers. It's like two sides of a coin. One side is Jesus, and the other side is the Holy Spirit. And as believers, believe it or not, we carry more authority and more power than any non-believer. You know, you can think of President Putin, you can think of whatever his name is, King Jong-un, you can think of whoever. They do not carry the power and authority that we carry because they do not own the name of Jesus, and they do not have the Holy Spirit living in them and powering them. I say that because sometimes we don't figure and we don't understand and we do not believe the power of God that we actually carry in and through the name of Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Looking at the church, I remember some years ago when I was in Hull Community Church, I had an office there, and down the corridor from my office sat a young lady, and that young lady had responsibility for the Evangelical Association's Nations of Europe. That was her role. The reason she chose to be with us was the fact, simple fact, two facts. One, her husband was director of operations at Hull City Council, and the other reason was it was far easier to hop on a plane from Humberside Airport to Schiphol and get on her way. I used to love Julia. I used to love talking to her because she was so full of stuff that I didn't understand and I needed to understand, because her previous role had been in the, the social, religious and ethical committee of the European Union, the advisory committee of the European Union on those three things. And she had lots of tales to tell about her role in the European Union and particularly her role in that committee. But one thing I remember very clearly that she said, many of the things that we want to put into practice and we put before the European Council and the European Parliament, we pass it through the Vatican, first of all. Social, religious, ethical. And she said, if the Vatican say it's got to change, then we change it. If the Vatican say no, then it's no. That's the authority of the church. Whatever we think about the Catholic Church, whatever, they carried that clout with the European Union that they could say yes or no. And that committee then had to go back to the drawing board or even had to scrap some of the things. That was the power of the church. You know, if you look back to the sadness of the Twin Towers and 9/11, every plane was banned from leaving the ground at that time, obviously, except one. One plane carried Billy Graham to see George Bush in the White House and to organize a memorial service for those that had died. One plane, one man, a believer in Jesus Christ, carried the reputation of Christ in such a way that even the President of the United States summoned him on one aircraft, the only plane that was flying at that time. I mean, David Hathaway, that some of us know, when he ministered in one particular nation, I think it was Ukraine, before the Ukrainian war, his first meeting was with the president and the prime minister of Ukraine, who then brought all the cabinet to his meetings. But that is the power that we carry as believers. Now, we might not be involved at that sort of level, but every one of us in this room, if we own and love the name of Jesus, then we carry his authority and we carry his power into the environments that God takes us. Let's just have a look at some scriptures to lock this in. You know, some of my favorite verses are attached to these, this talk. Talking about Jesus. Emptied himself, took on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him, gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. There are many situations that we have found ourselves in when the name of Jesus has been lifted high and has dealt with the situation we found ourselves, that name above every other name. When we walk the face of this planet, wherever God takes us, whatever assignment we have that name, and it carries such authority. Matthew 28, as we know, says all authority, the end of Matthew, in heaven and earth has been given. Therefore, go. So we go with the all authority of Jesus. John 17 and verse 2. Even as you have given me authority over all mankind. I'm going to say this. If Jesus has all authority, Jesus has all authority, there's someone who doesn't have any authority. The devil doesn't have authority. He's got some power and he's got a kick in his tail, but he doesn't hold the authority because Jesus holds that authority, and we move in the power of the name of Jesus, that who has all authority. power, Luke 24, the power of the Holy Spirit. This was the promise that was given to his disciples. Luke 49. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That promise was fulfilled at Pentecost, and that has never changed. Jesus has never lost his power. The Holy Spirit has never lost its power. Our problem is often we don't believe what we're carrying in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we can look at other scriptures, Romans 1, verse 16. I'm just looking at scriptures that indicate that not only are we carrying the Word of God, the name of Jesus, but also we're carrying the power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's another verse that says that the kingdom is not simply in words. You know, every time we speak kingdom life, we are speaking the power of God into situations. And I'll come to some examples of that that we've known in our lives over something like 50 years now. Well, why such authority? Romans 8:17 says this, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Now an heir means that we own exactly what that the other person owns. We are fellow heirs with Christ. So everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you and me. We are heirs. And in this sense, we're looking at power and authority. We have a right. You see, as a servant of Jesus, I have no rights at all. As a son of my Father, I have every right. And this is the dichotomy. This is the both and this is the tensions in which we live. I once remember doing a marriage course, which was great fun. One point really, really pulled me up a bit sharp. It was over rights, you see. What rights do I have as a husband? Well, I was just very carefully ticking one or two off and being rather proud of myself. And I came to the end of the thing, you see. And the crunch line was, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you have no rights at all. That completely undid me. I don't know how Chris got on, far better than me. But we carry authority, we carry power. I think more than once this morning, something has been mentioned about this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't behold him and know him. But you know him, because he lives with you, or abides with you, and will be in you. Do you realize this morning that Almighty God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the great creator, the great I am, the most powerful being in the whole of the universe, there is nothing like him, lives in you and me. He lives inside us. The Holy Spirit not only lives with us, the Holy Spirit lives with us, in us. And sometimes, you know, I hear a cry from within me, let me out. Let me out. I'm inside here. I want to be out. In situations that we find ourselves, the Holy Spirit, I mean, he said this morning, let me out. And he's been let out this morning across this body of believers. I believe the Holy Spirit has answered that cry within me from the Holy Spirit saying, let me out. And he's been let out across this body this morning. And whatever I'm saying, please, as Robert said, get hold of the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to touch you this morning. He wants to minister you this morning. He wants to empower you this morning. He wants to impact you this morning. He wants to bring the healing of Jesus to you this morning. Whatever your need this morning is a time when Jesus wants to meet that need through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it gets better. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we, Father and Son, will come to you and will make our home with you. So not only do we have the Holy Spirit with us and inside of us, but also Father and Son have come and made their home with us. And I love the Passion Translation with Brian Simmons, who cut his teeth in probably the finest Bible translators in the world, which is New Tribes Mission. I knew New Tribes Mission. I worked with two of their main leaders in the UK. They are some of the finest teachers of language that you can possibly find. A couple that we had were going on their way to Indonesia. There was no one better to train them in language, the New Tribes Mission, where Brian Simmons cut his teeth, who wrote the Passion Bible. And he talks there about the wraparound presence of God. And I love that expression. This morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are wrapped around everybody in this room. It's really amazing to know that. You know, we have a mandate from Matthew 28, as we've looked at, and we have the name of Christ, the person of Jesus, the power of Jesus to fulfill that, but also the power of the Holy Spirit. But Mark 16 says this, it's the parallel passage, and I love this one. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I wonder if we, all creation means we speak to the sparrows and the robins and so forth. You know, I might be joking, but I'm not. Willie Burton, who was one of the great missionaries to the Congo, couldn't find anyone to speak to. So he actually preached to any animal he could find. All creation. Willie Burton was preaching it. I've listened to a tape with Willie Burton actually speaking, old-fashioned reel-to-reel tape, speaking to the animals. Came from a friend of mine who was a great Pentecostal church planter. Those who believe. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. Do you know, I'll stick my neck out and say that many people in this nation today, sadly, not everyone by any means, many people who are mentally ill are bound by demons. You go to Africa, and the first thing they do is they get rid of the demons in people. I was at an apostle's house, and I came out of the door. This was in Ghana, in Accra. And there was a racket going on in the church building opposite, a real racket being made. I said to him, what's that going on there? He said, oh, it's Wednesday morning. He said, everybody's got saved on Sunday, they're getting delivered and getting sorted out so we can baptize them the next Sunday. Do you know, it's a burial service and things have got to be dead. I remember mistakenly we baptized someone, and this was a church in Birmingham, where the demon was not actually dead in her. the husband went through perfectly fine because we'd cleared him out. But when the woman, the wife, came through, she started manifesting under the pool. So we had to drag her out quick, get her out of the water, deliver her, and shove her down again. Second time she was fine. But it proved a point to me that it's a burial service. If something not dead, it stays alive. And that thing was shot off so she could go through the pool and get everything else buried. When I'm coming, I'll finish it off. They will speak with new tongues. Anyone doesn't speak in tongues this morning? Well, now's your chance. I practiced speaking in tongues years ago on three walks. I left work 20 minutes, 40 minutes, and nearly an hour. And because I was determined to learn this language that God had given me. And I used to go for that walk and not do anything else but speak in tongues all the way around that walk until the practice had come perfect and I'd got it, hold of the language. Those who believe, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I remember a story about serpents, and it's true, it's in a book. You see, perhaps the devil knows a lot more than we do at times, sadly. Because of the world in which we live in very much a secular society today. The tragedy is some people are proud of it. Well, the time is coming when all that is going to change. Revival is coming to hit this earth with such power that things will change. That's the reformation that's going to go on after the revival comes and hits the church. But the story, I mean, it's true. It's in a book written by a young evangelist from India who had tremendous success in his ministry. But when he was 12 years old, he was what was called a Brahmin, which is a young boy who's supposed to be perfect at 12, who is worshipped in the Hindu faith. And his mother was a high priestess. And one day, he heard his mother say this: if you ever in any trouble, there is one God you can call on, and his name is Jesus. And he just locked that away. One day when he was a teenager, he was walking along a cliff face, and guess what? There was no way out, and a snake appeared. And the snake came towards him, and suddenly he remembered what his mum had said. And he said, in the name of Jesus, to the snake. And the snake just went and slithered off and went away. You know, there was a Hindu priestess who knew there was a God who carried far more power than any of the other gods that she served at that time. I just want to mention this. It applies to all of us. You know, there are no superstars in the kingdom of God. If you talk to some of the most greatest ministries there is, you will find that they don't think of themselves as something up there. They simply think, like we do, that we are servants of God. It says here, all who believe. So if you're a believer this morning, then you can lay hands on the sick and see them healed. You can cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not up to some superstars. You know, you can put so much pressure on dear Robert here because Robert can do these things. I know full well he can. I've seen him operate. But he's one man. Look at all the people in this room that can lay hands on the sick and see God heal them. You know, speak to the enemy and see him cast out. All of us. I remember Catherine Coleman, who had one of the greatest healing ministries in the 1950s. Catherine someone made a statement to her and said, "Oh, Miss Coleman, you must have great faith." She said, no, I don't. She said, I have a little faith in a great God. She put it in the right context. Little faith, the mustard seed of faith in an almighty God. What do we have authority over? Well, we have authority over a number of things, but I'd like to look at four. Because they're all in the Bible. As I say, there are others. It's not an exclusive list. It's all found in Luke 8, but it can also be found in Mark. First of all these apply to us. Jesus has authority over nature and all creation. You know, nature today is the word, the buzzword. I rather call it creation, but if we want to call it nature, verse 22, Jesus stills the sea. Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let's go over to the other side. Now Jesus, every word he speaks carries truth with it. Whatever he says is going to happen. And he said, let's go over to the other side. That surely was going to happen. They weren't going to get drowned in the middle of the sea where they were. The other thing is, Jesus knew where he was going. He wasn't going to die in the middle of a storm. He knew a cross was waiting for him. That was his destiny. He knew Jerusalem was waiting for him. So in the middle of this sea was not the place at all where either his destination was or his destiny was. And he, of course, he was, I often smile at this, because you know you have professional fishermen here who are used to storms and used to gales, and you have a carpenter back in the back of the boat asleep. But Jesus had that security in knowing that that wasn't where he was gonna drown. So he rebuked the wind and the waves, and they stopped, as we know, and they got to the other side. I remember, Chris will remember this. We had a funny incident, many tales in our lives, which were true. We were on assignment to Shetland for 3 months. I went up there fairly frequently to a church that I had responsibility for from ground level. And I used to go backwards and forwards. And one of the couples lived on an island called Papastowa, which is about just over 30 miles offshore from Shetland. Now, if Shetland is isolated enough, 180 miles from Norway, more from the Scottish mainland, nearer the Arctic Circle than London. I mean, they talk about gales, but 140 mile an hour is nothing on Shetland. I had a doctor friend of ours who was in bed with his wife one night. He said, I thought I'd heard and seen everything on Shetland, Mike. He rang me the next day. He said, we were asleep in our bed. And bear in mind, solid foundations, every tile on the roof fixed, 13, 15 inch walls, triple glazing, and the bed began to move with them in it. That's the sort of wind. Any rate, we went to visit this couple, Andy and Sabina. They were on TV recently on a documentary, funny enough. And Andy rang me on the morning we were due to go. And he said, oh, by the way, Mike, he said, there's no ferry. He said, they've gone to pick up sheep on Fulmer. Yeah, far more important, the sheep, than any passengers. So he said, I'm bringing my boat. So this was about a 3 mile sound that we were coming across. And Chris said, where's the boat? Well, we got to this little jetty. I said, see that little speck over there? Oh, that is the boat. Well, Andy lands the boat and immediately begins to bail all the water out of it. I thought, that's fun. So he gets all the water out, we set sail, set off, and Chris said, where's the life jackets, Andy? Oh, you don't need them. He said, the water is so cold, by the time anyone can get to rescue you, you'll be dead. So, thank you. So we knew when all the waves began to come over the boat, but never quite got into it. Chris was praying madly in tongues. I was declaring every prophecy I could think of. And Andy's voice was raised to a crescendo of praise. Not one drop of water entered that boat, even though the boat was going like this and like that. So we made it to the other side. But so we've had a Jesus moment, still the waves, but it was a lot longer than we'd imagined. I've got another testimony I'll leave out about how we had to deal with a bull in the name of Jesus. Secondly, over demons. And we have the story of the demoniac, as he's called, a man with legions of demons, a legion of demons. Now, a legion of demons, a legion is up to 6,500 people, men, rather. A lot of men, a lot of demons. I don't know how many, but let us say there were certainly more than 1,000 demons that had invaded this poor guy's life. You know, if we go through the account, he was an outcast. He was living in the tombs. So he was a social outcast. He was naked. He'd lost his dignity. He was tied up, both emotionally, mentally, and also physically. It affected his whole being, those chains wrapped around him. But there's an interesting moment. Where's the verse? Ah, yeah, 28. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him. Even the man who was possessed with so many demons recognized who Jesus was as the Lord of all creation and the Lord of his life, and he fell before him. If you notice the other stories which we're going to touch on, each one fell at the feet of Jesus in an act of worship, in recognition and honor of who Christ was. He fell at his feet. Those demons that gripped him so tightly could not stop him falling before Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, and in an act of worship. Look at the results of the man set free. I mean, there was that going and throwing him, send him into the pigs. I think out of compassion, to be honest, that's my take. Robert and me know full well that sometimes when you are delivering people and setting them free, a lot of them come out through the throat, through the mouth. And that is pretty awful and agonizing and painful for someone. I think it was far easier for Jesus just to dismiss them and say, yeah, go into the pigs, because they came out very easily. It stopped quite a battle going on, I'm sure, to release all those demons out of that man. So it was an easy option in that respect. And Jesus, I felt, had compassion on this guy. Those demons could well have killed him in the time of them coming out of him. There were so many of them. But look at the results. And when those who tended them saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. And the people went out to see what had happened, found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting down at the feet of Jesus, fully restored there in body. Then it says, clothed in his right mind, mentally restored as well. And also, of course, restored from being an outcast to being a member of the community once again. And you know, that guy went on, and it's, if you look in the Mark passage, to be a significant witness and evangelist for Christ in Lebanon and Syria. That's the Decapolis, is modern-day Lebanon and Syria. You know, I'm all for teaching and training, and I people will know that from my background. I've taught on healing, I've taught on deliverance, I've taught on spiritual warfare and all those things. But Jesus was a risk taker. I don't know how many of us would have taken the risk and said, oh, get on your way and you go and witness to all anyone who wants to listen to you. No training, just carrying the power of God in his testimony. And I don't know how many people got saved through it. But there was a man who was so bound up in every way, knew perfect freedom and full freedom, and became, as we say, quite an evangelist. I remember a situation where a young student was brought to us. The Christian Union in Hull had tried to set this girl free and had come unstuck. So the guy in our church who looked after the student said, we've got a job to do. Will you come round? He said, I've invited this girl and the president of the CU. I said, oh, that's all right, that's fine. When I got there, the room was packed with students. Oh, we've come to see what happens. I thought, yeah, that's good, thank you. And, she was a beautiful girl, but had seven demons in her that we cast them all out. It was the talk on the coaches that brought from the lawns into the university. The talk was all about what had gone on that occasion, her being gloriously set free. The guy who was the president of the CU never forgot. Today he's the pastor of Vineyard in Hull. He'd learnt something that day of the power of God. That's our authority over the demonic realm, over sickness. You know, it's important. There are many ways that Jesus did to heal the sick. He had to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of us would get down on the ground and make a lot of spit out and make a mud pie and stick it on someone's eyes. We probably wouldn't do it. Because we only have one way, so we think. We lay hands on the sick. It says lay hands on the sick. But Jesus used all sorts of ways to bring healing, didn't he? Even someone touched his garments, and many touched his garments and were healed in that way, because the presence of God just circulated all around him all the time. There was that flow going on. And you know, he had some strange ways about healing and bringing healing to the sick. And we need to be sensitive to what the Lord is saying and take risks. I remember one guy who's, I won't mention his name, he is an international ministry. He said to the Lord one day, while he was praying for the sick, he said, I want to go deeper with you. What a mistake. God said, okay, call all the people out with back problems, which he did. Called them all out. Said, now lay them on the ground and run over them. He said, I didn't want to go that far, Lord. Are you in this? And the Lord said, I'm in it. So he did. He obeyed the Lord. They were all healed. I remember another, I'm going on, but these are miracles that we need to embrace. We were in another meeting, and a young guy who would be about our young man's age was ministering. And he said, well, all the people that have metal in their backs, please come out. So I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. Calls all the people out who had metal in their backs. And he said, right. He said, you know where the metal is, don't you? Yes. Put your hand on it. Put the hand on it. that's the last time you're going to feel it. All he did was he just took one step back. He said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And all the metal was dissolved. And a creational miracle took place in every body. They could all testify to it, that the metal had gone and bones had grown immediately. Okay. You know, we've... two examples. I remember the young lass who had leukemia, and she was gloriously healed by the laying on of hands. Another situation, and this is where we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I was with a young couple who'd not long into their marriage, and the young guy who was a research scientist had been in to see the consultant. He'd got cancer. But I thought, this is strange. The consultant came out with him, sat down with the wife, and she said, he said to her, oh, that's right. It talked about the illness. And she said, she was a teacher, can I go back to work? This was November. Can I go back to work in January? She hadn't got the message because he said, oh, yes. Yeah, of course you can. This is the last Christmas your husband's going to see. He'll never reach the new year. And that was about 6 weeks beforehand. So the group had been praying, and we prayed more fervently. And then, and this is so important in terms of hearing the Holy Spirit. One of the women said, I see a picture of something. And she described this idol, this effigy, so clearly, everything in detail about it. And she said, got anything like that in the house? They said, yeah, we have. The wife said, my parents are missionaries, and they're in Kenya or Uganda, somewhere like that. And we were all, I went there on a honeymoon. We were walking through a market. We liked what we were looking at. And we bought it, brought it home, never thought anything about it. And we said, the link is to that. This is why we haven't got the breakthrough. So what are you going to do about it? The husband has immediately said, I'm going to get the thing. Come with me, so-and-so, John, whoever it was. We'll take it into the garden. I'll get the biggest hammer. We'll smash it into pieces. And tomorrow morning, I'll set fire to it. That guy is alive today because someone, the Holy Spirit, and had the key. We had two recent occurrences, and I'll finish with this. No, I won't. Because we've got one more. One was... dealing with a house that was got all sorts of stuff going on in it, which we broke through. But then we prayed for the husband, who was the key to it, or the guy that was there. They were in church the following morning. And apart from her becoming poorly at the moment, they've been there ever since. This was in Withensley. The outcome... We had another couple came to us who were traumatized through a major car accident, rolled three times. They should have died, gone into the paramedics. They came to be released from trauma. We prayed for something else as well for her. And she said, I feel like a new person afterwards. You see what the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of Christ can accomplish in lives. And finally, over death. We had a situation when Chris's dad was poorly. And I can't. And we're not supposed to understand God. His ways are far greater than ours. We had a huge battle over Chris's father's life. For him to live. And it was war. And we saw gauges go up and down as Chris prayed, and then she worshipped, and the gauges were going like this to get them steady, and all sorts of other things. Consultant came to us and said, "We're taking your dad off every drug and every machine, and he'll die within 36 hours. I said, "You know why we're here. He is not going to die. He will live and declare the wonders of Jesus." Chris's dad lived, but they brought in a little boy who drowned in a pool, and it had taken them 25, 30 minutes to find him. Then, of course, you've got to get the paramedics there. So I don't know how long it was. You've got to get him to hospital then. And he was brain dead, basically. They said, the senior nurse, "We'll give him overnight, but there's no hope for him. And we'll call the parents back in the morning and say, 'Look, there's no hope for your son. He's gone.'" So we said, "Can we pray?" So she said, "Yes, just stand by the door, you can, and pray." We prayed. He was sat up next morning in bed, eating breakfast, when his parents arrived to pick him up. That is the power of God. That is it. And that's where we need to be. I am so, in a sense, frustrated at the present time. And it's a godly frustration, because I really want to see God move in such power that the world out there will marvel. Not just the church, but the world out there will see and worship our Jesus. Because as sure as anything, revival, as Robert keeps declaring it, and I suggest we all keep declaring, revival has been released from heaven. It's on its way. We've got a... Where's that thing, Robert, you got? Hallelujah. Oh. On the... Whoa, come on. Come on, John. Come and pick it up. Oh, there it is. Yes. Hey? Do you know, years ago, Robert gave me this. Years ago. Not that long. It's grown. As God has... Because it needed to grow. Yeah, it was a smaller one. But Robert's word to me was, keep pulling down heaven. Keep pulling it down. Get hold of all that God has and pull it down. And this morning, let's stand. We'll stand and I'll be done. Father, we take hold of heaven this morning. All heaven's glory, all heaven's power, all heaven's ability that resides in the name of Jesus Christ and in the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we take hold of heaven. We take hold of the revival that is coming now to this earth, to this place, to this region, to the city of Hull, in Jesus' name. And we pull it down. We pull it down. We pull it down. We pull it down. Keep pulling. We pull it down. Not three times. Pull it down. 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 Hallelujah. To the glory of God. Thank you, Lord.